Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just made a peace sign for no one.
I do that every time we do intros.
Today, we are covering 2022 U.S. National Championships of Figure Skating. And it's always a special one for us because I think our first episode ever was U.S. Nationals.
I was going to say, it's her birthday.
Yeah, I think our actual birthday is either February 1st or 2nd, but yeah. I know we're an Aquarius.
Oh, God. Oh, that explains so much about us.
Well, and isn't Aquarius supposed to be the sign of, like, technology and, like, innovation? And so, of course, like, a podcast would be an Aquarius.
Oh, God. We're off to a great start. That's a strong statement.
Yeah, I think this is our fourth Nationals.
Jesus!
Yeah, it's fucking cray.
That's a full Olympic cycle.
Actually, yeah, now that we're back to Nationals, we're going into our fourth everything. Except Olympics, obviously.
Oh my God. Let's do a Nationals. We're veterans at this point. If we were a skater, people would be talking about our inevitable retirement and just looking at us like, oh God, you know, it's so sad because you never know.
Ted would be like, well, you know, probably their last season.
So it's quite emotional. We are not quitting podcasting. We're not quitting podcasting. I know that sounds like we're making a thinly veiled, like, threat on our lives, but, or like the life of our podcast, but we're not.
No. We're going to jump right in. But first, we have a few things to say, because as we kind of get into the last few big events before the Olympics, which as of time of recording is like very much still happening in 3 weeks, whether... everybody's always asking me, they're like, Megan, like, what's China doing? I don't know. Just because I'm a sport, like an Olympic sport nerd doesn't mean that I'm like in direct contact with China. So fuck if I know. But anyway.
I think I just had a crisis on mic about the fact that the Olympics is in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I heard you laughing and I was like, I'm going to keep talking and let them work through that. No, but I wanted to say that because it is kind of like the climax of the 4 year cycle for figure skating fans, it tends to get a little heated. And Twitter is historically kind of a hotbed of takes of all kinds.
Oh, God.
So skating Twitter has been an even weirder and more stressful place to be. And I think we just wanted to sort of address a handful of things that have kind of happened on figure skating Twitter. We try not to be super on it, but like we are by design because our podcast has a Twitter and like we have friends.
Yeah, we sure do.
Mutuals and stuff.
Yeah.
So the first thing we want to say, and the first thing we absolutely must say about U.S. Nationals is that it ended up being kind of a super spreader event. Now, I don't really know what the, like, criteria is for something to be officially a super spreader, so I kind of say that, like, colloquially, but a lot of skaters got COVID, and a lot of outcry happened on the internet. I saw, like, petitions. I saw really, really angry diatribes about, like, you have to cancel this event right now. The second the first person gets COVID, you have to cancel it. There was a lot of weird stuff about, like, pressuring skaters to, like, pull out and lead it. And then it was so much. And, like, my take on it is, like, yeah, I think in general, if a lot of people are getting COVID, maybe cancel. But like, I'm not there. I'm not in the room where they're making decisions. And so I'm not about to be like, fuck you for being profiteers and putting money over. Like, I don't know what the conversation was. Maybe they were doing their best.
Yeah. Also, for whatever it's worth, 2 years into this entire situation, we know how incubation times work, like, and I'm not excusing, like, USFS. They're not fucking paying me, but it's not like people who tested positive on, like, the first or second day in the bubble got it at the fucking arena. Like, that's deeply not how the virus works. So it's oversimplifying the pandemic to be like, well, you know, a bunch of people who are sick ended up in the same place, therefore this place is bad. Now, if a bunch of people come out sick next week, by all means, blame what happened at Nationals or, like, at whatever other thing was a gathering of people. But I just think it's on governments and health officials and so many other people to be, like, you have people to be mad at and a bunch of volunteers trying to put on a figure skating event is not it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I really don't have an opinion on it. And I think it's okay to like just say like I'm not in the room where the decisions are being made and I don't have a strong opinion. But the thing is that, and I think we'll sort of see this again and again as like the Olympic season continues, is that I think that for like the vast majority of people who have Twitter, which it's important to remember that that is also like the vast minority of people. There's some study that I heard the other day that like, you know, a very small amount of people, like under 10% of people have Twitter, and like under 10% of those people use it more than like twice a year.
Well,
so
terrible. Yeah.
And
us.
So it's, there's a lot of people who are figure skating fans who are not these same like 200 people you keep seeing. But I tend to view it from the point of view of like, we have a platform. And so we have to be like, not careful about what we say, but we want to think it through, like not just put out the first thing that comes into our minds. Whereas like 99% of people can just do that and assume no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily hold it to the standard of like, you have to be so careful about what you're going to say. Most people just say like random shit on Twitter and it doesn't matter at all. But yeah, when you see a lot of it kind of trending, it just, it gets annoying.
It's so reactionary as well. And something that is really harmful in those situations is the way it dogpiles on just like anyone who may or may not be remotely involved. Let's say something bad will happen, like Lithuanian junior breaks their wrist in practice, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's cancel Evgenia Medvedeva because she hasn't spoken out about this one broken wrist in Lithuania in the past 20 minutes. And it's like, not everyone lives online the way we do. It's fine if people are not like coming out with like no tap statements about everything that's happening.
Yeah, I do that. And because I think it's going to come up again and again, the fact that like people got COVID, people had to pull out. I guess to that end, the other thing I kind of wanted to address is that I just think a lot of the takes and stuff on Twitter kind of come in with this bad faith idea of like everything's fixed, everything's garbage, everything's shitty. And the one that I saw the most was like, we should cancel this event because people have COVID, and it's not as though USFS is actually going to pay attention to what happens here. Of course, they've already decided who they're going to send. Why hold a competition? And that shit pisses me off.
I mean, if that's the case, let's just hold like a pageant every 4 years. And then why the fuck bother having a sport if we just know what's going to happen all the time? Jesus Christ.
It's not auto chess. Like, we're not pitting skaters against each other based on what the very best they can do ever, because that so rarely happens. It's always based on what happens on the day and who randomly has a boot issue, who randomly gets sick, who randomly had was sad and did a bad job. You know, like random things happen. And so it's always just like, you have to have the competition. And I will say, even I don't mind saying that I think the Russian women's field is probably the most obviously predetermined or corrupt or somehow cheat-y. And I would still never say, what's the point of having Russian ladies nationals? Like, you should still have it.
The gag is, though, the people who've been tweeting this about U.S. nationals are the people who would lose their absolute shit if someone implied that about Russian nationals. Anyway, this is not about US versus Russia or anything. It's just, have some fucking respect for the athletes. Like, they've worked hard, they've shown up, they've invested so much time and effort and injury and money to fucking show up and skate, and sitting on Twitter being like, well, this could have been an email. Like, fucking grow up.
Yeah, like, you want to tell Amber Glenn, like, I mean, before she got COVID, spoilers, but like, you want to tell her, like, the week before nationals that it's already been decided when she was so, like, clearly on the bubble, and that was kind of, like, the big question is, like, will she do it or not?
Yeah, it's shitty and, like, do better. Do we have any other shit we want to say before we dive into the actual event?
Trans rights.
Trans rights! Yeah! We don't really do ice dance in pairs on here, but it, we gotta talk about. Timothy Leduc is about to be the first publicly out non-binary figure skater to go to the Olympics, and I think that's amazing, obviously, like, clearly, for many, many, many reasons. Before we even go into, like, how important that is and people being garbage about it, I do also want to say that I've been very impressed by the NBC Olympics Twitter and USFS Twitter and a bunch of other outlets that have not said they're the first non-binary athletes to go. They've been very insistent on saying the first publicly out non-binary person, which is so nice because it very much validates the experiences that we don't get to know about, because they definitely exist, other athletes who do identify as non-binary and do exist and maybe are even out to their, you know, friends and loved ones and their personal lives and are just not, for some reason, publicly making that a thing. And I think it's very, very smart and respectful to make that distinction.
Totally. And I do want to say that as of time of recording, a few hours ago earlier today, US Figure Skating put out, I guess, an official response in the form of like a graphic with words on it on Twitter, which is like what a public statement is now, I guess, because who's holding press conferences. But it says US Figure Skating stands with our LGBTQ plus members and denounces hate speech against any member of our community. We are proud of Timothy LeDuc's groundbreaking role as Team USA's first openly non-binary athlete and recognize the positive influence they will have as a member of the U.S. Olympic team. And I saw some comments on there that actually note that this wording sort of implies that Timothy is the first non-binary U.S. athlete to go to any Olympics, which is not true because Alana Smith was a skateboarder in the Summer Olympics, which was also non-binary. But I think I feel like Team USA in different contexts can also just mean like the U.S. Olympic team for an event is contextually being discussed in the moment. And so like I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't think it was like intentional.
Yeah, I don't think it was intentional. I also enjoyed in USFS's statement that they phrased it in a way where they make sure to drop pronouns in there, because I was waiting for it. Reading it, I was like, okay, but what are you saying? And it's just so affirming. Whoever wrote that has done one of the better jobs of dealing with just the positives and negatives of, for better or worse, queer people just making the news cycle.
Yeah. And like, we won't necessarily go too far into like the gross things that have been said, because you can kind of just poke around and find them if you want. And if you don't want, we don't blame you.
Also, I spent like an hour yesterday just bitching on Twitter. So you can find that somewhere.
Yeah, you can find Netta tweeting on the podcast account, rightfully so.
I was dropping slurs left, right, and center on podcast main. I didn't give a shit. It's just so jarring to open Twitter and the first thing you see is a bunch of like rancid, aggressive hate speech that just like set me off.
Well, there's so many queer and trans and non-binary figure skating fans. And so I think it's important.
Yeah.
We're like a fan podcast first and foremost. So like, I don't really have a problem with us saying what we feel.
Yeah. I would rather be a space for my queer and trans siblings than make fucking the Olympic channel happy. So
they don't even know who we are. It's fine.
Fuck transphobia. Trans rights forever. Fucking thrilled for Timothy and I. Can't wait for them to fucking rule at the Olympics. Yes.
Yes. So the final tiny little thing we wanted to say before we jump into coverage of specific skaters and events is our annual friendly reminder that national scores are always inflated to absolute ridiculous proportions, right? They don't count towards international standings. And so there's always people who, okay, so I've been listening to a couple of different podcasts with Michael Hobbs as the host, and he has this phrase he uses for like, someone's always popping out of a trash can. And I just like, it's gotten embedded into my like speech. So there are always people popping out of trash cans who are mad that like Nathan Chen got a $300 billion on his free skate. And it's like, it kind of doesn't matter because
it doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere. Even he knows it's stupid. If you look at Nathan Chen when he gets any score, he just kind of laughs and is like, Jesus Christ. Like, everyone knows those scores are made up and the points don't matter. It's more about like,
oh my God, I love his line.
Whose medal is it anyway? But enough about Nathan. We're going to start with women.
Yes. And we're basically going to talk about the spoilers alert Olympic team / the alternates. Does that
Can you imagine if this was actually a spoiler? Like, what if somebody was actually like, no, I wanted to be surprised when the Olympics happened.
Oh, my God.
I just invented a guy to be mad at.
Does that person exist? No, I would be fascinated. I want to talk to the person who goes into the Olympics not knowing who's going to be there. That sounds amazing.
And every announcement is like a reveal. Like, and next to skate.
They're like, yay, I like them.
Yeah, we're going to start by announcing the Olympics team for the first time. No one has ever announced this before. This is the first everyone's hearing. The athletes are waiting on bated breath. It's going to be Mariah Bell, Karen Chen, and Alyssa Liu. Alternates in order are Lindsay Thorngren, Amber Glenn, and Gabby Izzo.
Yes. How do we feel about this team? I am not particularly happy about the way it had to happen, like with Amber getting sick and not being able to like perform her free skate. And spoiler alert, she had a bit of a bad time in the short as well because she was, again, already maybe feeling sick. We don't know. However, I'm fucking thrilled for Mariah and Karen and Alyssa. Like, that's an amazing team.
It's crazy how deep the field was, even with Amber and Brady and Alyssa all kind of out for various reasons.
God, Stan Brady.
Stan Brady. Forever. Shout out to Brady.
Pour one out.
I feel rough about the fact that Amber is second alternate and not first alternate.
Me fucking too.
It gives me flashbacks to my senior year of high school when I didn't get the lead in the musical, and then I also didn't even get understudy because they gave it to a freshman. And it's highly specific, but it's like just a me personal thing.
No, it's deeply relatable. I know it's about numbers, and I know it's about like how people performed at this particular event and everything as well. But if you wanted proof that nothing was set before they started nationals, this is fucking it.
Okay, this is honestly why I think the argument of why even have a competition is actually the least valid at the nationals before the Olympics. Because to me, it actually always seems like every Fed takes nationals way too fucking seriously as an Olympic trials, and they should really be doing body of work and like...
Yeah. Yeah.
For lack of a better word, vibe check. You know what I mean? It's not always about numbers, but they followed their own internal rules very transparently and very accurately. And if you want to know what those criteria were, check out Jackie Wong at Rocker Skating. He did all the amazing number crunching and laying out of all the criteria for people. It's very confusing. But by those criteria, yes, Lindsay would have been ahead of Amber because of the fact that they take into account trending scores, which I absolutely loathe because there are enough data points to draw a trend line. It's just not doable. Like, I'm not a scientist, but that's not how data works.
But if you're not into like numbers and data and science and shit, do you want to go ahead and tell this 17-year-old Olympic alternate that the event shouldn't have happened? I implore you to at Lindsay Thorngren right now and be like, you know what? Actually, I was fine.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I like Lindsay.
Yeah, and she's precious.
According to all the commentators, her like storyline is that like she really wants to get better at the artistic side. And she's the first one to say that, which means that I kind of don't feel like I need to be like, she's boring or like, she just does technical stuff. Because it's like she never said she didn't and she knows what she needs to work on. And I mean, that was like Alyssa a couple years ago. Yeah. And then Alyssa put the work in and improved. So I think as long as you know what you need to work on, I really respect that, honestly.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, US Nationals does pewter as a fourth place medal, and that's like on the podium. And one of these days I will remember to find out why that is before we record. We are 0-4 on me researching that before a US Nationals episode. But for some reason, there's four.
Yeah. I think it's nice. I think we should have a podium for everyone. I have such mixed feelings about Gabby Izzo.
I think she seems really cool because she kind of reminds me of like all the girls I went to high school with who ended up going to Harvard, which is to say just like really hardworking. I admired her because she had said that her goal was to podium, and she did, and so she was happy. And I think that to go into nationals where... Okay, so we know Brady is not going to be there, but it's still like Mariah, Karen, Alyssa, Amber, Lindsay, Isabel Oviedo, like all these people who are expected to be like top five or six. And then you're like Gabby Izzo, who is like just not pushed internationally as hard as some of the other like A-team heavy hitters. But she knew she could podium and she knew she wanted to podium. And then she did. So I was like, good for her. Like, it can't be easy to go into something knowing that no one expects you to podium except for you and then doing it.
Yeah, I think that's badass. I think that actually has sold me a lot on her entire deal. It's all about like manifestation and working towards a goal. You know, I respect it.
Yeah. And again, like Gabby Izzo is someone who's like, are you going to tell her that it didn't matter that the competition happened?
I think a lot of this podium heading into it, like, are you going to tell bronze medalist Isabel Oviedo that it didn't matter? Let's talk about Isabel.
I think she's adorable. I think she has a lot of really cool artistic sensibility. I think she's great to watch. It's been a fucking minute since we have seen a young woman come out of juniors with just like really, really, really nice basics and skating skills and artistry, and like maybe still has to learn a triple axel and quads. You just don't see that as much anymore. So it's kind of a blast from the past.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it bears mentioning and repeating that she, even though she trains and works in the U.S. and obviously represents the U.S. and everything, and born and raised American, her coaching team is almost exclusively Russian expats. And I think you can very much see like the Russian school in her.
You can. And that actually makes a lot more sense for the point that I sort of made on Twitter and I kind of want to reiterate here, which is when I watch her, I feel like I'm watching like Kamila Valieva or, you know, insert whatever Russian like flavor of the month amazing star here. Because it's kind of that same style, but I don't take umbrage with it from Isabeau because I don't have like a million people in my ear being like, this is the best thing that's ever fucking happened to figure skating. It's just like, this is a nice young girl who skates like a nice young girl and will grow up and maybe be more mature. If somebody would say that about like Kamila or Sasha or Anna, I would be like, yeah, agreed. So it's just, it's put into, yeah, a different context of sometimes it's not about what you're watching. It's about what you're watching versus what you're being told you're watching.
First of all, yes. Secondly, I'm now on her Wikipedia page, which is fascinating. I want to tell you two facts about her personal life. No, three facts. First of all, her mother, Chiara Garberi, is a clinical embryologist who immigrated to the U.S. from Italy in 97. So she's very much like at least half Italian. Secondly, she is named after the Michelle Pfeiffer character Isabeau d'Anjou from the film Lady Hawk, which is amazing. I wish I were named after a Michelle Pfeiffer character. And lastly, she speaks English, Italian, and some Russian, which for a 14-year-old is fucking impressive.
Yeah, seriously. So
also, she was born on March 3rd, which is Bulgaria's national holiday. I now claim her as a honorary Bulgarian.
Italy plus Russia equals.
Well, kind of. Well, that's an extremely hot geopolitical take, but you're also not wrong.
I just really, 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 really hope that they don't look at Isabeau, and by they, I mean like U.S. figure skating, and look at her and see
boardroom full of Illuminati.
Oh, yeah, the boardroom full of Illuminati who discusses everything beforehand. I hope that whoever the powers that be are don't look at her and see a golden ticket to, like, the Russian quad space race.
Yeah.
And, like, actually let her have a career. Because as we will get to with Mariah in a minute, like, if you let your skaters, like, eat and go at their own pace, they can last to the ancient age of 25.
My goodness. Yeah. Basically, that's the conclusion here. Let's carry on. Let's talk about this. Our 2022 silver medalist, Miss Karen Chen.
I think that there is a world in which a couple of numbers could have been a little different and could have won.
Oh, for sure.
And it would have been just as deserved as Mariah. As the world's
number one Mariah stan, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a huge opinion on it. Like, XYZ person was robbed or XYZ person wasn't robbed, but I think that it was anybody's game, and looking back it kind of still is. Like, you know, it could have just as easily been Karen up there.
Sure.
Just, it's a subjectively judged sport.
Yeah, I thought she did so beautifully. I think I really like her going back to, I mean, people have been saying going back to Requiem for a Dream, but it's the same music, but it's a different cut and different choreography. So at this point, I don't think she's recycling a program.
Even if she was, like, get off her jock, man. People get so mad when skaters recycle, and it's like, what are you doing?
No, I think it would have been fine, but I just think she's, like, revisiting a piece of music, but it's or, like, a source material even, but it's, like, a very, very different program.
I'm, like, uncharacteristically angry today.
Yeah, I think it's fine to be angry.
Do talk me.
Our entire podcast is Do Talk Me, I'm Angry. And I enjoy her Requiem, especially in contrast with... it juxtaposes really nicely with her Butterfly Lovers.
Is this the time that we tell Hippo Hippo, or do we save it?
Please talk to me about Hippo Hippo.
There's things that are like stupid in jokes among me and Netta and our like circle of like just close friends who also follow figure skating that we've known for a long time that occasionally end up accidentally creeping into the lexicon of this show, and then we have to explain them. So apologies for that. I know like cheeky Landos was a thing at one point on Twitter.
Oh yeah, people are like, oh my god, here's this new thing, and I'm like, no, this was a thing back when a cheeky Nando's was actually a thing.
Yeah, like that was, this was a thing back when this was funny and relevant. But now it's just whatever. Hippo Hippo comes to us courtesy of friend of the podcast Caitlin, who you may remember if you're a Patreon subscriber. She was our special guest correspondent that summer when all the skaters originally left Atari because she's like an expert on Russian skating drama.
She has the Peppa Sylvia murder board for Russian drama.
So we consult her for all things Russia. But she, I guess, I think if I remember correctly, and like apologies, Caitlin, if I'm getting the story wrong.
It's urban legend to this point. It's fine.
It is. It's folklore. I guess her sister one time was like asking her, like, what's that song that's in every movie trailer now? And she was like, which one? And the sister was like, you know, that one that's like, hippo, 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 hippo. And so whenever Requiem for a Dream comes on in a skating competition, we all have to like text each other like hippo, hippo, hippo.
Because we're normal people, all of us.
Because we're normal people. And now Hippo's going to the Olympics, and so it felt like the time to bring Hippo Hippo to a larger stage.
Olympic hippos. You'll love to see it, folks.
Hippo, 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 hippo.
So anyway, we're thrilled for Karen and her hippos, I guess.
Hungry, hungry hippos.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Our 2022 U.S. Nationals gold medalist is one Miss Mariah Cheyenne Bell. And I did not have to look up her middle name, which speaks to how excited I am about this.
You know what? She earned it.
She did.
And I heard a lot of people being like, they just wanted to give it to her because she was robbed a couple years ago. I'm like, why can't someone who was robbed a couple years ago still win it? Like, why does it all have to be a fucking conspiracy?
I saw a lot of garbage takes of like, it's so unfair that, insert list of people, aren't going to the Olympics, but Mariah is. And I'm like, are you stuck in time in 2019? Like, do you need me to come get you with my time machine? Fucking grow up.
Yeah, I'm happy for her. What I want to say, I'm really happy for her. She skated fucking gorgeously. She did Hallelujah, and then Katie Lang congratulated her on Twitter, and I was like, oh my god. She, at 25, is like the oldest female figure skater to go to the Olympics in like 100 years.
94 years, yes.
94 years. The oldest U.S. champion in however many years.
The same 94.
If you're a fan of the sport, you know that it's trending younger and younger and younger, as a lot of sports are. And so to be 25 and winning is a huge deal, and I'm seeing it make like real news. I think Jezebel had an article that was like ancient crone Mariah Bell, and it was really funny. Yeah. And I laughed really hard at that one.
Ancient nearly divorced crone.
Oh yeah, there was the thing with her and okay, so that was the thing. People were upset that that one, I think was it USA Today or something, that was
I don't
an article
fucking
that
no man,
it was like people, it was some like outlet that was like, after getting her engagement broken off, she rallied and went, and I'm like, people got mad about it, and I was kind of like, I mean, it did happen, and it does make a good story.
It
like,
did
if you want to sell magazines.
She has spoken about how, like, she was upset, because of course she would be fucking upset. And also, like, if that's what brings your, like, second aunt into watching figure skating, by fucking all means.
If she brought it up, as far as I'm concerned, she's okay with having it discussed, like... Yeah. People are allowed to make their own decisions. As somebody who has gone through breakups that I was very salty and very, like, publicly telling everybody that I met on the street about what happened in the past, not recently, but in the past, I'm like, it's her call. If she wants to be like, this is my narrative, then cool. I respect her for that.
When was
like
the last drama. Time a French man broke your engagement, Megan?
I've never been engaged, and I don't think I've ever dated a Frenchman.
Devastating.
So I can't relate. I can't relate, so maybe I shouldn't talk. But
yeah, this is a very particular experience, actually.
I want to address the fact that in light of all of these headlines about her age,
yes,
that there's then been this thing coming back that's like, why are we only talking about Mariah's age? We never talk about the men's age. And I'm like,
oh my fucking God, use your fucking brain.
Shut up. Like, that's such a stupid, like, it's basically the equivalent of being like, oh, LeDuc is the first non-binary figure skater to go to the Winter Olympics. And if somebody were to say, which I'm sure they have, like, why do we have to bring gender into it? It's like, if you don't understand why that's a thing, it's not like prejudiced for people to bring it up. It's kind of on you to like examine why that's being discussed in this context.
Also, conversely, if you want it to be simpler for you, Yuzuru fucking Hanyu is 27 and we're not talking about it. That's fucking why.
Right. It's like, it's not why aren't we talking about it? It's like, we're talking about it because we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because fucking, if we're talking about someone's, like, third potential Olympic gold and we're not being like, oh my God, he's an entire 27 years old, that's why it matters when it's women.
Exactly. Like, it's that thing of, like, if we talk about it, it's prejudiced, as opposed to, no, if we talk about it, we're actually, like, maybe gonna chip away at the prejudice. Yeah. So that annoyed
Jesus
me.
Jesus Christ.
I get it coming from a place of, like, girl power, but
it's very much like Pink Pussy Hat. Like, fucking use your brain. Like, what you're doing is not feminism.
I think it's important as a woman who is hoping to still achieve things in the future that we can say, like, okay, yes, Mariah did it at 25.
Also, it's good for other athletes. It's as good for other athletes as seeing queer people in the sport, as seeing people of color in the sport, as anything else. Like, it's chipping away at the image of, like, the willowy 13-year-old who, like, takes the world by storm and is broken in 2 years. Like, we get to build different narratives, and one of them is a woman at 25 winning a fucking medal. Like, God.
Yeah, because 9 times out of 10, the U.S. national figure skating champion becomes a hero in the sport, like a legend that little girls look up to. And if the little girls are looking up to somebody who's 25, that tells them that they have a lot of time to, like, become their best. And that's nothing but a good thing in my mind.
Yeah. It's also great for, like, the Bradys and the Ambers, et cetera, out there who are maybe not having the greatest season, but now we can chip away at the idea that, like, well, I'm not 17 anymore. Might as well fucking call it.
Yeah, and it's good for the Alyssas, who were that, like, willowy 13-year-old kid who could do a million jumps. Alyssa has admitted that, like, she hasn't trained a quad since basically lockdown, I think around, like, spring 2020. And so, once again, it's that thing of, like, yes, it's impressive when children can do crazy things, but it's actually not, because then they eventually stop being able to do crazy things because being a child makes it easier in some ways.
Of course. Yeah. So it's important for everyone. Alyssa is going to the Olympics and is amazing and has won me over many, many times. We've had a journey. I stand and then I didn't stand and now I stand again, but for different reasons. And we can talk more about that when we get into, like, social media and shit. But even though she did test positive for COVID, she has said that she feels fine, you know, mentally and physically and everything. So what a fucking story that is, like, for the future. Like, imagine being, like, a grandma and getting to tell your grandchildren. It's like the pandemic story is like, oh yeah, I was in full quarantine when I found out I was going to the fucking Olympics. It's like such a, like, time capsule of the year we're having.
In the press conference after the short program, Alyssa was like, I'm not gonna skate forever. I want to do other stuff. Skating's my hobby and I do it because it's fun. And, like,
iconic.
It's fucking hysterical and iconic to be like, I've won a million championships at a very young age. I'm going to the Olympics. And, like, it's my hobby.
Deeply iconic. Amazing behavior. I just hope no one breaks that spirit because it's amazing.
Well, it makes me feel relieved because we were saying, like, a few episodes ago that, like, her dad has been putting a lot of pressure on her to switch to a more competitive training environment. And Alyssa had to leave Italy, where I guess everything was, like, really wonderful for them. And, like, it was really sad to move back. And so to hear that this attitude of, like, it's a hobby is still intact is nice. It's reassuring for me as somebody who cares about Alyssa's welfare.
Same. Several more honorable mentions. We kind of mentioned already Amber Glenn, who continues to be a light in all of our lives. She had a tough time in the short, and then it turned out that she was sick, so she couldn't do the free skate, which sucks. But to quote a different empress of a different galaxy, she is a fighter and she will return. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, it's like heartbreaking to know that she really wanted to and could very well have made the Olympic team. And it just didn't happen this time. And it sucks that it's like, we're never going to know like what could have happened.
Yeah.
In her sort of Instagram post about like, yeah, I have COVID and this is what happened. She posted a clip of her at the end of her short program, like breathing really heavily in a way that I think probably her and like the rest of us can look back on and be like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think her trajectory, I think she's just getting started. And to that end, she is 22 years old. By Milan 2026, she's gonna be a vague 25, 26. And if anything, we've proven that that's possible and doable. So, hey.
Yeah. I get the feeling with Amber that, like, it's not that the triple axel isn't happening. It's just that it's, like, it's not quite done cooking. Like, I think needs, like, another season or so to get, like, really, really, really consistent. And it's just the timing of when the Olympics fell, you know. I don't think it's a reflection of her as a skater.
Oh, God, no.
That it would take a little time to develop a really difficult element. It's just trying to get things fast, ready, quick, in time. Doesn't always happen.
Yep. She has grown beyond her importance as a competitive figure skater. She is such a figure and such a role model for so many younger skaters already. Like, we've talked about Timothy so much, and she is yet another, like, openly queer person on, like, the larger A team of Team USA. And it's huge. It just fucking moves me anytime I see, like, the little flags come up for her in an audience. And it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. And not in, like, a nihilistic, like, well, they shouldn't have had the event way, but it doesn't matter where she placed, because we're talking about her this much, and that has to stand for something, you know?
Yeah, and she's bringing skating to TikTok, which...
Iconic.
It's iconic. Speaking of skaters who are much more important than just their skating, but also...
are good at skating.
Gracie Gold.
Oh my God, Gracie Gold. Getting to see Gracie Gold deliver the way she delivered in the year of our good Lord 2022 has brought me so much joy. And also her fucking iconic statement of like, I knew I wanted to skate to this music and I knew I wanted to have a green dress. Fucking iconic behavior. Like, this is
iconic.
This is how I want to like deal with my entire life. It's like, I wanted to wear this outfit and I showed up and I did it good.
I also love that I think I heard this secondhand through, it might have been Ben Augusto doing the commentary, which of course we'll have to talk about.
Yeah.
But it was like a secondhand of she said, and then I think it was a paraphrase, but it was basically she wanted people to wonder why she wasn't going to the Olympics. And I'm like, yes, I love that attitude. That's exactly what
it's
I would want.
It's the same
if I was
energy
her.
As Gabby Izzo showing up like, I will be on this podium. It's like the girl bossing your way into people's minds that I deeply respect here.
Absolutely. And I think that it's really important that we see Mariah and Gracie in the same field, because to have like two women who are 25, 26, it's not a one-off thing. And also you can take different paths. You could be like Mariah and just take your time slow and steady and like build up over almost a decade. Or you can be like Gracie, where you can have a second chance if you work hard enough, like, and have the right support and the right, you know, I mean, obviously, like, I don't want to frame it like a bootstraps thing. Like, everybody who is able to make a comeback from any kind of mental illness is typically very privileged in a lot of ways, myself included. But, like, I think that she's an example of a different trajectory and how there's multiple ways you can succeed and still not have to retire at, like, high school age.
Yes, agreed. She continues to be a fucking inspiration and also just an amazing vibe at all times. And we have no choice but to respect forever. Yes.
Do you want to take a short break?
Yes. This is The Break. Welcome. If you've made it this far, thank you so much for supporting us. This is already an insane season, and it's honestly only like halfway done. Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for supporting us. There's many ways to support us even more, and I am about to tell you all of them. Number one, you can follow us on places on the internet, which will tell you at the end of this show. It helps people see that we matter if there is more than five of you listening to us. Number two, you can give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app and maybe write a nice review, which helps me in the dark, long nights of this winter. Also, Spotify does reviews now.
No.
Yes. So if you're like me and you like to break your Spotify Wrapped by listening to podcasts on Spotify, now is a great time to fucking head over. Because I know that when I listen to my favorite podcast and they're like, give us a review on Apple Podcasts, I'm like, I never fucking use that app. But now you can review us on Spotify, apparently. So do that as well. Also, if you want to support our terrible coffee habit and all of the beers I've been consuming during this recording, we have a Buy Me a Coffee, which is a buymeacoff.ee/icedpod, where you can tip us one time for like a tiny amount of cash if you feel moved by our jokes and commentary, or you can just do a Patreon, patreon.com/icedpod. That's how we keep the lights on. It is also over 2 years now of just bonus content.
Yeah, we do bonus episodes on silly things, figure skating and non, and it's a lot of fun. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, I just went into a fugue state. Men.
Men.
Men. Men.
Yeah, before we talk about skater men that competed, do you want to talk about Ben Augusto?
Always. Like, always. Literally always. I was trying to figure out how long I've had a crush on this man. And I was, like, kind of going back. And I think, I mean, obviously the 2006 Olympics, but I think it goes before that. I think maybe 2004, 2005, I don't know. I was very young, but, like, obviously 2005, 2006 was the height of, like, Obena Denkova and Maxim Stavisky's career, so everyone in Bulgaria was watching a lot of Ice Dance, and it was, you know, the done thing to stan them, and I was an outlier because I was stanning Ben and Tanith because I had a crush on him. I was 11 years old, and now I'm sitting here as a 28-year-old full adult person. And he has won me over once again. So it's been 17 years.
My, like, 17-year-long figure skating OG crush was Charlie White, who, first of all, I think it's very cute that we were, like, crushing from other sides of the world on a pair of Ice Dance teams who would eventually marry each other, sort of. I just made it sound like they're in, like, a giant polycule, which is not the case. But Charlie White is also grown up to be a wonderful commentator, so we have good taste, or at least we did when we were in middle school.
I don't know, I just like boys with long hair.
Let's move on to a boy who used to have long hair.
See, I have a thing. I have a thing, and it's boys who used to have long hair and then grew up to be beautiful adult men with good opinions and good skating. Anyway, Jason Brown. Wait, did we do Olympic team? We've not done the Olympic team.
Oh, we've not. I forgot. Well, that also starts with Jason Brown in
yes.
my heart.
Oh my God. So Jason Brown, pewter medalist by like a fraction of a point. Questionable. I do want to, first of all, he's perfect and beautiful and he's never done a single thing wrong and you know it, and the Sinnerman Schindler's List is the best Olympic season set of programs. We all know that. What I want to talk about is the beautiful 2.5 hours of the Buried app, which we've complained about so much. Those 2 hours where all of us were so prepared to be disappointed, and at the same time, just so unified in wanting him to make it. I think it was poetry. I think it speaks to his power as a person.
Was it Joetry?
It was not, actually. Thank you. It was not. How dare you?
Okay, but speaking of, I think that one of my favorite aspects of that moment, aside from the unity, was that even though everybody logically knew, based on, like,
numbers,
all of the writing on the wall and the numbers, that it was going to be Nathan Vincent and someone else who was either going to be Jason or Ilya, everybody on the app was like, fuck that. Let Jason and Ilya both go. Get rid of Vincent. Like,
yeah.
Everybody. Everybody. Yeah. And it was like, it was interesting that everyone took kind of a stance that was not the main narrative.
For once, I felt deeply represented by figure skating Twitter. The other thing I want to say is the fucking dramatic irony of all of us fucking freaking out. I'm like getting into fights on main, like with trolls and stuff. People are being like so aggressive about it. Well, until like 6:30, 6:40 local time. And then Jason posts his little screenshot or whatever, and he knew 2 hours before that. I would have killed to be like, to have that experience of seeing so many people rally for you, knowing you're about to make them so happy.
Yeah. And also the B plot of Nationals in general was like, will Jason and Tracy make it to Nationals? Because Jason and his coach Tracy Wilson were like fully stranded at like a million airports. They had to rent a car. They had to do this and that. And then by the time they got there, Tracy had COVID, which is horrible.
Which, again, don't fucking blame the bubble. She probably got it at one of the 27 airports they had to go to.
No kidding. And I'm picturing it like full Indiana Jones, like we'll travel by map, Muppets road trip, them in the car, like singing. Like, I think if this was a movie, that would be
full
sort of
show cues.
The running joke would be, let's cut and see what Tracy and Jason are up to. And they're just obliviously like in a car singing like Jagged Little Pill or something. Just bopping their heads like moving right along.
This sweet boy with Tracy out of, you know, being able to be next to him. He had his sports psychologist with him as like his person in the arena. And then he spoke out about it and was like, yeah, I had my sports psychologist. The sports psychology is very important. And I'm like, fucking king shit.
King shit. And you know, I think figure skating is really special in that it's one of the few sports where you can bring your therapist to work with you for moral support. I think we all wish we could all do that.
Oh, God, yeah. God, I wish I could just be like, yeah, I just have my psychologist here with me. And we were talking about my strategies right before I headed into my 17th phone call for the day.
I guess as someone who like does virtual therapy and then opens a new window and starts working because I just like work from home freelance.
Well,
I sort of do that, but
great news for you.
Me and Jason.
You and Jason. You handshake meme Jason. Also, because we've spoken about the rest of the LGBTQI+ representation at Nationals, it was very moving to me to have that one gorgeous, gorgeous shot of like Jason at the end of his short program, like overwhelmed and happy and knowing he did well and just like a bunch of flags behind him. That is
Hell
pride
yeah.
to me. That is what pride is.
That's the new pride flag is Jason Brown.
Jason Brown with a secondary pride flag behind him, actually. Yes. Okay. And now for whatever the fuck happened in third.
In third, we have Vincent Joe. You know, his short program was fine. Like, it was fine. It was good. It was as good as it ever is.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. I was watching with my dad and my sister, and I was trying to explain to them why I suddenly become so mean when he skates, and I couldn't.
I've had this conversation with my mom, too.
I was full, like, old Slavic witch just, like, sitting there, just, like, chanting under my breath. And both of them were like, are you okay? And I had to be like, no, I'm not. Are you not seeing this? And honestly, if you've made it this far into, this is episode, I think, 52 of this.
It is, yeah.
Whole situation. This is not a surprise. I don't like the man. Can you say it? Can you say your real good take? Because it's the only take I care about.
Okay, so the take is that if Vincent Joe were to right now at this cultural moment say trans rights, he could rehabilitate his entire public image.
Yes.
And I don't think he knows. Because, like, for those of you who are new to fandom and immune to the scandals of, like, 3-4 years ago.
Well, lucky fucking you.
Lucky fucking you. Vincent's original fall from grace was around the last Olympics, which, first of all, I think people were mad that he was selected to go as kind of, like, the Ilya Malinin of that time, of, like, the young
God.
Upstart, the
yeah.
freshman who got the lead over the senior type deal. And he also, at that time, was liking some stuff on social media that implied that he had really like shitty Republican conservative bigoted beliefs. And one of the things was transphobic in nature. And I think that before that he had put up some stuff that was like pro gay rights, but then the more recent thing was the transphobic thing. And I think everyone was upset about it and whatever. And that's one of those things that like, it colors the way we think about him. But to be honest, like I'm always really willing to let kind of young people just like be make stupid dumb, shit idiot mistakes online because we've all done it and we've all, I mean, I could meet somebody right now at like age 30 something who's like got the world's best opinions. And like a lot of those people were like, yeah, when I was a teenager, I was a fucking idiot and I hated this XYZ group for no reason. And then I learned and I got better. And I wouldn't then say like, well, I can't be your friend now. Like, I didn't know you back then. We were all dumb when we were little, you know? So like, as long as you didn't like punch anybody in the face, like I feel in general, like.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of like, for example, like with the Timothy thing yesterday, like it was so many people who have no personal stakes in this situation were like righteously angry on Twitter, like at the ISU, at USFS before their statement. Like, and I don't mean just like people on the internet, I mean like competitive figure skaters, former competitors, like people in the sport whose voices matter. And as a fucking two-time Olympian and someone who had a semester at an Ivy League school and shit, I think you could very well be, at the very least, it would be a very good appearance to be like, hey, my teammate is getting aggressively abused on the internet and also in real life by prominent people in the sport. I think that's wrong. I don't think that would be a bad take for him.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I guess sort of what I'm getting at is that it's just the fact that he's never then come out and said, like, trans rights even one time. And if he had, I would be totally willing to forgive everything. Yeah. I'd be like, sure, yeah, we all come around eventually on stupid, dumb opinions we had before we knew things. But, like, anyway, I'm not saying that Vincent Joe has more responsibility than any other member of Team USA to come forward and defend Timothy LeDuc. I'm saying that just from a purely, like, haha funny point of view, I think it would be funny if he realized, like, this is the moment we have to seize and was like, okay, great, this is what makes Vincent come around. Like, that would be cool.
What if he did say trans rights, but he did it via terrible poetry?
Oh my God, I would be okay with that. Look, it's like, art is subjective, right? As evidenced by the fact that a lot of people like to watch Vincent skate. And like, I don't want to say those people are wrong or bad or whatever. If you're listening to this and you like watching Vincent skate, first of all, you're a really cool person for like listening to podcasts that actively disagree with you and are still like, yeah, this is fun. Thank you for being here. But second of all, like, yeah, I would never be like, you're wrong and shit's bad. It's just not what I enjoy. So that's kind of more why I get frustrated when he does well.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that I have kind of a negative taste in my mouth about his character, but I don't think he should have gotten higher than Jason.
It's by like a fraction of a point as well. And also just before we move on, his free skate was fucking messy.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't seen him fall in a long time. I was really surprised.
Yeah, it was just, it was the cognitive dissonance of, like, watching it and then going on Twitter and everyone being like, oh, fucking yikes. And then the score comes out and you're like, wait, what? It's just confusing.
It is. And it's this whole narrative of the reason that the U.S., despite having Nathan Chen, who is wins everything and is numerically probably by many standards the best skater in the world, the fact that we would have to fight for our third Olympic spot, the reason that was the case was because Vincent bombed last year's world, didn't make it into the free skate, and then that was it was like in contention of like, will we have our third spot? So then to give it to him felt a little like, body of work is one thing, but what's like the opposite of that?
Well, he was fourth in the free skate, and I'm looking at, I'm a spiteful bitch who loves drama, so I pulled up the protocol, and it's fucking bad, man. Like, none of it was good, none of it was clean, it didn't look like he was engaged, and two of the judges still gave him 9.25 skating skills. I don't know, man,
either.
I hope he, for his own sake, I hope he has a good showing at the Olympics, because it would be terrible for this man's ego if he doesn't, and I don't want to read that poetry. Let's talk about Ilya Melanin.
So the first thing I want to say about Ilya Melanin is he is not the father.
He is not the father, and he's going to let you know through a soulful, like bluesy leather clad performance. He is also 17 years old.
Yeah, something about a white kid who to me looks younger than 17.
Yeah, he has a young face.
Yeah, he's a young face. In like full, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like futuristic goth cyberpunk, vaguely BDSM, like gimp suit motorcycle fantasy. to a like a coffee house soulful version of
Billie Jean.
And he fucking slays it. He gets into it. He like really, really, really skates the shit out of it. But it's like, for why? Like, what was this choice?
Yeah, it's just it's one of those moments like Artur Dmitriev doing Lou Bega, where I'm like, how did you and your team arrive at this? Whose phone was plugged into the Bluetooth speakers at your rink, and how did this happen? Because I have several questions.
We need to come back to that, because that was like the highlight of my entire year so far. I know the year is young, but I feel ready to call it. But no, Ilya just went out and did a flawless job, and he skated like a 17-year-old with incredible technical skills who's like really fucking great and has all the potential in the world. And like, it's not that he doesn't have artistry. It's not that he's not putting his whole heart into the Michael Jackson routine. God, I was like, what's a polite way to say that? He just isn't like proven internationally, and also doesn't have that like very special spark yet. Did you read the interview with Roth about like how pissed he was that he wasn't selected for the Olympics?
No, but that doesn't surprise me, because Raph is Raph.
Yeah, so he's so Raph Artunian is the coach of Nathan Chen and just a ton of really great skaters, Mariah Bell, and also Ilya Malinin. And according to Raph, he was mad that he felt like the standards and criteria that USFS set out were not followed, which I disagree with. I think they were followed. Same. But it's interesting that at no point in the interview did Raph ever say who Ilya deserved to go in place of.
Because he's smarter than that.
Right. So I don't know what his opinion on that is, but it's, I think, important to note that he at no point was like in the Ilya versus Jason debate. Like,
yeah, of course, because he is smart. He's been around this block. Oh, yeah. I found it so funny when people were like, when we were all heated up about like, oh, shit, is he gonna like, is he the dark horse? Is like, is he about to do something so fucking incredible that like, is he gonna win? That he was out there, and I think it was after the short program in the press conference, he was like, yeah, I didn't expect to skate this good. I was like, child, you gotta learn. You can't say that.
People were asking him about the Olympics at that press conference, and his answers were all kind of like, I understand that, like, mathematically I'm in contention, but, like, we all know that I can just go next time, right? Like, that
was kind of God bless him. I think he's a fun kid. Oh, so he apparently did an Instagram live, and he was just like hanging out, and someone asked him who he thinks is gonna win the Olympics, and he was like, oh, not me. So like, we have no choice but to stand, and I can't wait to see him in 2026 and on the road there, of course.
And in first place, we have, to no one's surprise, Mr. Nathan Chen.
Six-time consecutive champion.
It's the sixth time straight.
Yes.
Which we need to put emphasis on the straight.
Straight. Not consecutive. Straight.
It's like, it's so funny because I made.
You made up a guy.
I made up a guy. No, I didn't. That guy exists. I actually saw that. Like, I made up a guy. I texted that after this happened. And I texted Ned at the graphic that had, like, the word straight, like, really large next to Nathan Chen. And I was like, I made up a guy. And I was like, a guy who's mad that they put too much emphasis on the word straight because Nathan is like more butch than a lot of the guy skaters. And like, then literally like a day later, I saw somebody do it. And I think it might have been a joke from that person too, but it wasn't clear. And I was like, I knew I'm just too psychic about the way that Twitter thinks. I knew it couldn't have been just an imagination thing.
I mean, what is there to... Well, actually, there are things to say. There are several. First of all, we're back to, like, objectively fantastic programs, and I'm delighted. Secondly, fucking Lab OM continues to be, potentially my favorite Nathan of all time. It's, Megan, you know what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say it at the Olympics again. I'm gonna say it at Worlds. I'm gonna keep saying it. It's that moment where he dances as if he has a partner, but he's by himself.
It's gorgeous. It's simply gorgeous.
Beautiful. And I tweeted that, like, just like in a haze, and like 20 people replied and were like, yup. I'm like, it's just Shayla's power, man. I was like, does she have, like, do we know her PayPal? Because I would like to buy the woman a coffee.
For those of you who are, like, not up on, like, the social drama of figure skating.
No, there's drama.
Well, I just want to touch up on the tea. Like, I feel like it's not new tea for us, but it's basically, like, I think it's a very small faction in the world in general, in the human population, but feels very, very massive on Twitter that fucking hate Nathan Chen. And I still don't really get why. He was an ambassador for NFTs at one point, which I think most people with half a brain are like, fuck the NFTs. And rightfully so. I'm like, if it's dumb kids think dumb shit. Like, what do you want me to say? You know what I mean? Like, he's a smart kid and he still thinks dumb shit. It's fine. I'm not worried about it. I will say there was somebody on Twitter who quoted it and said, I guess NFT stands for no fucking transitions. And I laugh. I
disagree, but it's funny.
I disagree, but it's funny. Like, that's a lot of the criticism of Nathan is that his programs are empty and they don't have enough transitions. And compared to, like, Yuzu, yeah, that's true, because Yuzu has more transitions in his programs than, like, anybody has anything in anything. But it's not that they're empty. He has a fair amount of transitions and whatever. But I will say I thought it was clever and funny and I laughed really hard.
Two things. Number one, if Nathan was to skate a Yuzu style program, the same people would be like, what is he doing? This is clearly not his style. And B, same thing I said earlier, the people who have those opinions are people who stan a lot of Daniil Gleickinghaus choreography. And if that's what you want from your transitions, you can fucking have it. And also, a thing doesn't need to be, I mean, maybe it's our experimental theater background, but, like, a thing doesn't need to be busy to be meaningful. Like, do you just want him to, like, windmill around a bunch and, like, do a bunch of, like, S-steps all the time? Like, there's ways and ways to perform. And to that point, I can't even argue this point just because I don't think his programs are empty, actually.
Yeah, well, I think that it's all coming down to this fictitious, like, straw man showdown between Nathan and Yuzu, right? Because even though the two of them
clearly enjoy competing, number one.
Well, clearly enjoy competing, love having a rival slash friend slash idol, and have almost never, maybe, like, I can count on one hand the amount of times the two of them have ever both in fully good health, top form, gone up against each other and actually had a showdown.
And we were still shaking from the Han Yu-Chen back-to-back.
Yeah, it was, it's like almost never happened. And yet, yep. Every time Nathan skates, it's like, in everybody's minds, it's like they're comparing it to as though the ghost of Yuzu was there and Nathan beat him, and then they're mad about something that they pretend happened.
I have such a good joke, but you are not familiar enough with the body of work of My Chemical Romance to make the joke. So just keep this in, and the people who know will laugh at this.
So I think artistically I agree with you that I don't want a program to be too crowded. I'm more likely to call out a program for being too crowded than for too empty. I think in terms of, like, where is he earning the points he gets, that's a valid conversation, but not at nationals for reasons we kind of talked about earlier.
Yep. Agreed. I think that's it. I think I'm excited to see him back to those programs. Wait, no, that's not it. Because he knows. The thing about Nathan that I really, 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 really will continue to respect is that he's always in on the joke. He is always in on the joke. And by the joke in this case, I mean that he, as a good friend of Mariah Bell, did what she did a couple years back where he got way too excited in the choreo sequence and he fucking ate shit.
It was a really funny faceplant, too. It was literally a faceplant. He's the one who called it that, so I don't feel bad calling it that. It's like one of those things that if you watch it, it's like you could put any silly music to it. You could just take the still of it and use it as a reaction for a number of diverse occasions. It's a real gift.
Yeah, and the thing is, first of all, he hashtag we get up, got back up, just like scrunched face smiling about it because, like, who gives a shit? And then, like, in his You know, like the post, the capital P post everyone always does after an event. He was like, you know, well, like, went to nationals, won nationals, going to the Olympics, yay. And it's a little like Instagram carousel slider, and it's a picture of him looking beautiful, and then it slides to like a shitty screen cap of him belly flopping. That's what I mean. He's in on the joke. He knows.
And it was in the step sequence that everyone loves to fucking hate because it's hip hop dancing and people are like, we are not racist and elitist.
Yep.
And sorry, I said step sequence. I think I meant choreo sequence.
Yes.
It was in the choreo sequence that everyone gets mad at. But like, here's the thing that I really loved is that he saved it in a way that like actually worked in the like style of dance. Because like, you know, if you've ever watched like hip hop dance or like rap battles or like anything in that sort of like hip hop rap movement style, whether it's like a rapper just gesticulating or moving, or whether it's like a hip hop dancer, like, you know, the sort of gesture that's like, nah, nah, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what he did. Like, forget it, forget it. Like, it was cute and it fit with the style, you know? Oh. I'm sorry, I'm like explaining this in such a white way, but like, it's the best I can do.
Truly king shit on his end, though. I respect it. And also, I say the same thing like anytime Yuzu does. Like anything, if we're gonna like go back to like the strawman comparison, I deeply enjoy moments of those mind-blowing athletes who do like impossible things humanizing themselves. It's always just so delightful to me. Also, I did want to just say real quick, because that's the through line of this episode, I just opened Nathan's Instagram because I wanted to look at the screen cap again because it's funny. His story is currently just one slide, and that one slide is about Timothy and like his support. So no choice but to stand. Yes.
No choice.
You know, when people thought that he was homophobic because he misspoke the one time.
Yeah, he misspoke and it was taken out of context and like.
Yeah, he's a raging homophobic misogynist because we don't have bigger fish to fry.
Well, yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. I had this full conversation with a couple of my friends who happen to be gay men who are big Nathan fans. And they were like, leave him alone. Just because he's straight doesn't mean he doesn't deserve rights. And like,
I agree. Let's move on. This has been the Nathan Chen corner. Do we want to do some quick honorable mentions of boys?
Yeah, I want to mention Yaroslav Paniot, who his boots... He had some new boot goofing. Oh, wait, no, he didn't. He had some old boot goofing.
First of all, no one has told me what happened to him. I know I tweeted about it, and I'm going to keep tweeting about it. It's like, so many things happened after that moment that we kind of forgot about this amazing C-plot. But I want to know what happened with his boot, his amazing aura. We had, like, this is honestly terrible for aura, because they're, like, such good boots, and now, like... There were so many dramatic close-ups of his auras falling apart. I was watching again with my sister, who is a film professional, and she was like, this is like I, Tonya. And I was like, yeah, this is full like Tonya Harding, like going up to the judges sobbing with your laces broken. Like, what happened?
Except Tonya got to relace.
Yeah, and he got a 3-minute. I don't know. Someone, I think it was Ben in his
comment.
Ben had
speculated it was a hook.
Yeah, it was like the actual like, integrity of the boot and not the laces. Either way, it sucks. And last time I checked, he hadn't said anything about it on like his socials, and he still hasn't. His latest post is about his American citizenship, which, good for him. Congrats.
Good for him. Welcome.
Wish that were me.
The other drama there was that Todd Eldridge is his coach, but Todd Eldridge couldn't go to nationals because he got COVID. So instead, so Misha G. And Misha was there with Yarrow. And then there was this whole thing that came out where somebody went on like Todd Eldridge's social and saw that he was like anti-mask or something. And so they were like, it was like, I mean, don't be anti-mask, but whatever. Misha is one of the single best choreographers in this sport and is so giving to the people he considers himself a coach to the people that he choreographs. And that's like really special.
It is also Yaroslav knows how to make a show. That was something.
Yeah, and my critique of him earlier this season was that I felt like he had all these fucking incredible moves, but it was a little bit like watching Napoleon Dynamite at his talent show, where it was like, this kid can move, but like is a little bit dead-faced and not projecting to the audience. I thought he brought it in his disco routine. I had no complaints. I was like, good, he took the critique that I gave that he didn't hear because he doesn't know who I am. It was amazing.
What if he did hear? Hi, Yaroslav.
Well, look, if we want to talk about skaters who do know that we exist, we need to talk about our lovely friend Camden Polkinen, who did amazing.
He did amazing. I was so proud of him. The Camwat May is amazing. A fucking iconic. He also was there without his buddy Tomoki, because Tomoki was sick.
Because Tomoki figured out he had COVID before he got there.
Yeah.
Which must have felt awful. And then to see everyone else got it there, I have to imagine, was a little bit like, okay, well, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, Camden did amazing. We've all known that he was capable of it. And then he did it. And
he was so happy.
Third alternate for the Olympics. And he was so happy.
I'm just so proud of him. I know it doesn't mean anything, but he is an empath. Also, side note, people are like bullying him about that. And I'm like, the kid is on TikTok. He knew what he was saying.
He knows the meme. He's referencing a meme. And you can't,
he's
like,
in on the joke.
Again, it's like, yeah, it's like if I say, like, I can has cheeseburger, and then a bunch of people are like, this loser didn't even know that she was quoting an internet cat. And it's like, yes, I did. Who the fuck says that normally?
No, we said no talk me, I'm angry earlier in this episode, and it was because we were angry and we didn't want to talk.
We invented that.
TM, 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 which we also invented. Anyway, Jimmy Ma is an icon.
Yeah, it was not Jimmy Ma's best free skate, but Jimmy Ma's consistency on the short has been so fucking good. And, like, Boston's good for the man.
Yeah.
I think it's because he's closer to me geographically, so he can feel the fact that I'm sending energy of, like,
vintage Jami energy.
Yeah, I'm taking energy of, like, you are a star, and I'm sending it up 95 North, and it's just, like, getting there really easily.
Honestly, it's what he deserves. His short was amazing. I know, like, we're always going to mention his slappier moment, but I think that was I think Black Swan is actually really fucking good on him, and I enjoy it deeply.
I completely agree.
Oh, Jami, come on to pod.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. And finally, we need to talk about our Archer Dmitriev, who first of all attempted a quad axel.
It was so close. It was terrifyingly close. Also, shout out to whoever the fuck in the audience managed to capture Jackie Wong's reaction. Because I've been having a tough time because of just life. And that video of just like this dead audience and Jackie just jumping out of his seat is art. It belongs in the Smithsonian and it makes me happy.
Absolutely. And like, I think we forget that. I think Archer was like the first person to attempt a quad axel in international competition. Correct. But anyway, Lou Bega has more than one song and I didn't know.
Shocking. Honestly, news for all of us. Also, my last honorable mention is to the arena DJ who fucking understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Is that the US? Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. Do you want to go to Canada?
Yes.
We're going to be real quick about Canada because it wasn't as competitive and eventful. Kind of far and away the winner of the women's and the winner of the one Olympic spot and world spot was Madeline Skizis.
Yay!
Who is a star.
Yeah. We've sung her praises before. She's amazing. She is smart and talented in many, 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 many ways. Also, I get to have clockwise representation at the Olympics, which is exciting for me personally.
And for the men, Keegan Messing and Roman Sadovsky are both headed to the Olympics. It was going in gonna be like a them and Nam competing for
the same two spots.
Same two spots. And Nam didn't have a good weekend.
He didn't. And that's fine, because it sounds like it might have reignited the fire under his ass a little. Which, I mean, not the way I would have liked to see that happen, but, like, good.
You know, first of all, Ted doing the commentary, which, okay, the commentary at Canadian Nationals was fucking lit because it was Ted and it was frustrating, but they did have all these amazing guest stars. They had fucking Kevin Reynolds, who was reading every single thing he said with the cadence of like a Midwestern newscaster. It was the fucking greatest thing I've ever heard. He'd be like, and now Keegan Messing is going out to spin and he is going to do a quad. And if he lands it, he'll go to the Olympics. Like, it was like every single thing followed that.
He'll go to the Olympics. And I was dying.
I was like, oh my God. Patrick Chan was there being shady. Megan Duhamel commented on the pairs and got to be so unbelievably shady about Duhamel. It was just fucking great.
I'm so glad we don't do pairs because I would have words.
Wait, I said Duhamel, but that's her, right?
Yes.
Who's the guy? Radford.
Radford.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
In my head, pairs are like one entity and they both have hyphenated names and it's like the same name.
Funny.
Which is true sometimes. It, like Team Coco. So
yeah, it is true sometimes. It is true sometimes. You know, when you skate with someone, you have to legally take their name, even if you have other partners in real life. Because as we all know...
Because it's in the Bible.
It says in the Bible. And also, only straight people can skate in pairs and ice dance, actually. Because otherwise, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, Nam's maybe not retiring now. After a weekend of Ted being like, oh, well, you know, it's just so sad because it could be... Like, every time Nam breathed, it was like, oh, he's dying.
This is his last time breathing.
Yeah, it was sad. God, and like then, and I'm sitting here thinking like, wouldn't it be funny if he unretired just after this whole weekend of Ted saying nothing but like,
yeah,
Nam's about to crawl into the tomb and like,
I want Nam to do his short program next year to Cher's song "You Haven't Seen the Last of Me" from the film Burlesque.
Oh my god, I would love to see that.
That is my pitch, Nam, if you're listening. Hi honey, come back on the show. Also, "You Haven't Seen the Last of Me" from Burlesque.
There you go. Also, he indicated on Instagram that it might not be the end for him. He also said in an interview that he just said, like, I was in a different emotional place when I said that I wanted to retire.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, that meant so much to me because as somebody who, like, has ups and downs in her emotional life and who says things and then, like, a month later will be like, oh, I'm at a different part in my depressive cycle and I completely disagree with 1 month ago me. I get embarrassed to be, like, public about that because I don't want people to think I'm like flaky, and like Nam said that and I was like, he just said it with so much confidence. I didn't for 1 second think negatively about it. I thought it was great. I was like,
that's
so cool that he can just king shit that you can just say that, and it kind of opens the door for those of us who also change our minds about things a lot.
Yeah, also it's fine to be like, you know what, I thought I was done and never mind, actually one more thing, I'm not done.
It does happen a lot. I mean, look at Mick Brazina.
Oh, Mick. Speaking of which, Euros is happening right now. I'm going to talk about him next week. It's fine. I'm not going to talk about Mick Brazina right now. It's fine.
We have so much more to say, and this episode is really long, but I would be so fucking remiss if I did not mention Keegan's girl boots.
Oh my god, Keegan, if all of this was a movie, you would be cutting to one of two things. Either it's Jason and Tracy trying to get from Canada to the US so he can be at the US Nationals, or it would be Keegan who had the opposite travel journey across the same border and his boots were lost and he had to break in new boots and they were girl boots and he did a quad in them and he was shirtless.
It was so weird and I loved it, and I loved how big of a deal everyone on fucking planet Earth was making over the fact that his boots were white, which is like traditionally but never officially girl colors, but yeah.
Everyone was like, gender is a construct, yes king, and I'm like, it's boots though.
It was just really funny. I was dying over it.
I will say, shirtless in white boots doing a quad is a gender.
It is a gender. It's maybe the only gender.
Is it the only gender? Please discuss.
Wouldn't that be crazy if instead of, what if in 2022, instead of being like, there's only two genders, we were like, actually, there's only one gender.
It's one gender, and you only get to have the gender if you can land a quad on brand new skates. If you can't do that, you don't have a gender. Congrats. And fucking welcome.
I feel like there's so many people who, again, like pop out of trash cans whenever a skater has a luggage mishap and is like, well, I wouldn't have put my skates and costume in my check. Like, fuck off. No, you don't know how you would pack if you were Keegan Messing.
Also, he like very openly spoke about how he used to be allowed to carry them in his carry-on, and one of the airports, I think like Toronto Airport, I don't know, one of the airports like has a new rule where you can't have 2 9.5-inch blades just in your carry-on.
If I was a skater and somebody on Twitter, even meaning so unbelievably well, was like, don't forget to put your costume in your carry-on, I would punch a wall. I would feel like I would be so aggravated by that.
I would skate in a white t-shirt, scribble down in Sharpie, like, Twitter user ad quintuple flip told me to not forget my costume, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
That's probably a real Twitter user.
I was trying so hard to not, like, Twitter user at give Christy Yamaguchi a quad axe, so I don't fucking know, my dude.
Skate fan Kathy. May she rest in peace.
Long may she reign. We have blushies.
We do, and more than I have seen in recent memory, to the point where I was able to kind of make highlights instead of just naming everything I saw, regardless of quality. Yeah. So the most prolific blushie was the roses.
Which I love, because we like to give people their roses.
I don't like them as much because I don't think they're as cute. I want an animal, but it's fine.
Wait, is this it? Is this what we fight over? I really enjoy the roses.
Okay, yeah, this is definitely...
I think it's a very campy take on, like, the, like, ballerina cliche of, like, throwing actual roses onto the stage. And as such, I appreciate it. You know I like an oversized prop.
Most of the plushies that were not roses were blobs of various species and colors with unicorn horns. And so I could never really tell what anything was supposed to be, and it made my job really hard.
I like the blobs, and I think...
I like them too.
Wait, is that a gender?
Yeah.
So we do have two genders.
Okay, thank God. So, like, it was a lot of, like, is it a fox? Is it a cat? It doesn't matter. It's a fake creature with a unicorn horn, and everyone had one, except Jimmy Ma got a cool hat.
I respect whoever got him a cool hat so hard, because, like, you have to dig deep into, like, your personal vibe check of a person to be like, they deserve a snapback, actually, is what they deserve.
Yeah, and, like, I think plushies are for everyone, but sometimes people don't like them. I don't know if Jimmy likes them or not, but, like, maybe sometimes you want a hat.
It's just also so funny to be given a hat by a complete stranger. Just, like, out of context, they think that's hilarious.
It's not as weird as whoever gave Coster Naya a hamster or whatever the fuck that was.
God. Yeah, I think, like, living creatures are off limits. But if someone, if it was, like, a prank video and someone walked over to me and just gave me a hat and walked off, I would think they were so funny.
Mariah got a lot of plushies, but one thing she got that stood out from the pack was a giant gorilla, and then she handed it to Adam Rippon, who is her coach and longtime friend and choreographer sometimes/all the time. I forget exactly which programs he did.
Yeah, /cheerleader/person with a coat in her Kiss and Cry.
Yeah, I just thought that was a really big moment, you know?
Yeah, I think it's... I always think it's cute when the plushies get redistributed to, like... a coach or someone else. It's like a token of appreciation. It's like, you've earned this. We've worked for this.
I would like to name Jill the official protagonist of Plushie Corner this week, because she, upon finishing her skate, went straight for a plushie and then had to put it down because she remembered she still had to bow. That's the priorities that we want to see. That's queen shit.
Imagine, like, being at, I think it's her first senior nationals, and you're like, you finished your program and it's great. And what you're zeroing in on is, there's a thing on this ice and I want it. I respect it.
What if she's the one person on Earth who, like, skates really, really amazingly competitively on a national scale solely so she can get free stuffed animals?
That's valid. I will tell you right now that I've skated competitively once in my entire life, and I'm currently surrounded by the plushies I got in that one moment. So it's a good hustle. It's a good hustle, like, if you want to get some plushies.
Yeah. I think that the, like, weirdest, deepest cut plushie was that Mitchell Freese got a cup of noodles, but it was, like, made of felt or something.
Oh, God, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, that's, like, that's an iconic item. That's a rare item. And we want to end by saying that, so when we talked to Camden a couple years ago, we told him about Plushie Corner. He told us he had this one fan who makes him teddy bears with all of his different costumes on them, and he finally got to have another one.
Yay!
We saw him get one, and he looked really happy, and he was, like, showing his coaches. He also got a Pikachu, and if you want to know how to draw a Pikachu, you should go to Camden's TikTok, because he will show you the correct way.
And also, he's gonna know that you wanted to learn, because he's an empath.
Correct.
Okay, that concludes Plushie Corner. One last thing, real quick. We've been shouting out social media as we've been going, and most of it has been people's incredible support for their queer teammates. The other thing I do want to... Let's talk about Alyssa Liu's just general... I know we kind of mentioned it, but let's dig deep into Alyssa Liu's Instagram, please, God.
So I think the reason that Alyssa Liu's Instagram is so dear to me is that it hews so close to my high school experience that I find it so endearing.
It very aggressively gives me, like, the kids are all right vibes. It's like, again, it humanizes someone who's capable of impossible things to an extent where I'm like, all right, you're a kid and it's precious.
Yeah, so here are the highlights from Alyssa's recent Instagram. One, she bought a pogo stick and then forgot and then posted a bunch of photos with of her on the pogo stick with the caption, I can't believe I forgot that I bought a pogo stick.
Also, her Olympic, like, the post about, like, OMG, I made the Olympic team is just, like, a very, like, a blurry picture of a younger Alyssa from a bad angle.
Just screaming,
which is iconic.
Alyssa did one of those Ask Me Anything submission, like, Instagram stories where they, like, posted all the answers. And one of them was like, "All right, do you know you're famous?" And Alyssa was like, "Oh my God, I'm not famous. I'm a regular person. I go to the store. Please don't put me on a pedestal." And it made me laugh so hard because it's like, well, you, it's like a podium is a pedestal. You're literally on one all the time.
Well.
Welp.
I did also want to say that she was once again using her platform to share, like, infographics about things that are more important than figure skating. Like, right as she tested positive, and I guess people were, like, going to her Instagram to, like, see the hot takes on the story, and it was just a bunch of, like, Black Lives Matter shit. That kid is smart.
Yeah. And in the press conference, she was like, "I'm not going to stop doing that. I'm going to talk about racism. I'm going to talk about homophobia." Homophobia. God, we need to wrap this up. My favorite thing that Alyssa Liu did on social media, on a long list of things that were amazing, is that I think it was last night, as of time of recording, Alyssa went live. And I think she's just, like, in quarantine, right? Like, just, like, hanging out and bored with COVID. And so there was this, like, live stream, and I went on because I was like, oh, I wonder if Alyssa will talk about, like, the Olympics. Alyssa was talking about solely K-pop, and then someone asked her about Naruto, and she said the phrase, and this is unfortunately when I turned it off, she was like, okay, I need to talk about Naruto, and if you know Naruto, you know that I have a lot of things to say. And I turned it off because I was like, I do know Naruto, and I can't anymore, but, like, I just was so filled with so much affection.
Oh, God. Alyssa, one day we'll get to talk to you, and it's going to be chaotic, and I cannot wait. This is an episode, Megan, a chunky, chunky episode, and I am thrilled to have made it.
Me too. I also think I'm really now remembering that the reason our early episodes were so long is because we didn't do them as two-parters. So they would just be, like, chunky like this.
Also, we would enjoy talking about everyone. Like, truly everyone. Speaking of talking about everyone, I want to talk about our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/iceteapod, who, as we've said time and time again, help us leave the light on and remind us that we don't have to wear that dress tonight or whatever. Do you want to give me the list?
I do. That list is Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Fox Mechana, Adela, Greta, Tryhard Radio, Samantha, Jesse, Kieran, Mary, Yana, Barbara, another Barbara, Sunny, Erin, Aura, Sally, Samira, Joseph, KM, In Spirit, I Am Always Throwing Plushies of the Beginning of Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Thank y'all so much. You're truly fantastic. And y'all can hear that the list is growing, and it blows my mind every goddamn day. So thank you so much.
If you sign up now, you could be the 30th one. That's a round number. So if you want that for yourself.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Also, if you want to hear us, or, like, rather read us reacting to Euros in real time, you can do that over on IceteaPod on Twitter. We do technically also have an Instagram, but, like, we don't really use that. Megan, where are you on the internet?
I am at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter. Where are you?
I'm at Netta Marie. That's NEDA. And then just Marie on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also see me figure skate at N_ice skating if I ever make it back to the rink, because I've been busy.
So we'll see you again very soon for Euros. And we are going to start sort of talking about the Olympics at some point. We have plans to do sort of like a primer for new people if you're not really up on all the figure skating basics.
Or
stuff.
If you want to bully your friends into, like, caring about a thing you care about.
Yeah, we'll make it easy on you and be like, here's where you start. So stay tuned for that in the next few weeks. And yeah.
Take care of each other and yourselves. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.